Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and reverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Okay, hello everyone. I'm CJ and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned with us for the next hour to ignite your best life. Each Thursday, I'm 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll have new voices from a wide range of experts and everyday people about the best ways to make the most of your life. Today on my show, I have John Begay. Welcome, John.
How you doing?
Good. John Begay has studied and practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for 15 years. John's practice is deeply rooted in the core teachings of the Buddha and the work of Jay Krishnamurti. Did I pronounce that right, John?
Krishnamurti, that's right.
Krishnamurti, yeah. With emphasis on the application of these teachings to everyday living. During the day, John works as a chief marketing officer in Massachusetts at a book publishing company. So welcome, John. I've been really excited about having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I know I put down on the promo that you're a rock and roll Buddhist, which is something that I know, but no one else knows. So tell us why you're a rock and roll Buddhist.
Well, in a previous life that I shared with you, I know in a weak moment, I made my living playing music, and before that actually worked for a number of years in the music business, in the record business. And I remain a big music fan and music aficionado. I think, I thought maybe you were having some fun with rock and roll Buddhist in suggesting that my mind needs to settle down a little bit more to be a proper Buddhist.
Well, didn't I tell you you're going to be playing a piece halfway through the show?
Yeah,
didn't
exactly.
I tell you you have a solo, just so you know? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Buddhism. How did you first get fired up with Buddhism? Tell us about how you started.
Yeah, as you mentioned in the intro, I've been interested in and working with these teachings for a little better than 15 years now, and really discovered Buddhist practice and Buddhist teaching through a Taoist piece of literature, the Tao Te Ching, which is, if you haven't or any of your listeners haven't read it, I strongly urge you to go find it and read it. It's still, I think, maybe the wisest guide to living that I've yet come across. And I discovered the Tao Te Ching and was just completely kind of opened up my mind to a different kind of way of living and relating to life, but I was sort of hungry for a more practical way to actually apply some of the things that the Tao Te Ching pointed to, and so I was led to Zen practice, which is really the Buddhist teachings that kind of when Buddhism came from India to China and ultimately Japan, it sort of mixed with Taoist teachings and ended up with Zen, which is a particular flavor of Buddhist teaching. And what really appealed to me, it still appeals to me about the Buddhist teaching, is that there's a very sort of utilitarian and pragmatic set of practices and teachings that help sort of put these ideas into practice in our daily life.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you did point to something practical, because I got to tell you, I started reading the Tao Te Ching, and it starts off with something like the way, there is no way, weigh something. I don't know. I just started getting confused. So it seems totally impractical to me. I honestly, it seems so too esoteric for me. But the Buddhism stuff does seem a little bit more tangible, more practical. So that's how you got onto Buddhists, is that you looked into Zen. How long were you doing Zen for, and what does it mean to be in a Zen practice then?
Again, there are a number of different sort of schools of Buddhist teaching, and that really has as much to do with just the fact that this is a body of kind of wisdom that's been around for more than 2,500 years and has kind of moved across the globe, and as it's kind of historically moved into different cultures, it has sort of mixed with some indigenous practices, and just has sort of morphed a bit in terms of some of the forms and practices, and kind of developed into some different schools of practice. The root teachings, the core teachings, are really the same, whether you're talking about Zen, Theravadan Buddhism, which is more the school that the teachers that I'm currently working with now are rooted in, which is Vipassana meditation, or Tibetan Buddhism, which some folks might be familiar with through some of the teachings of the Dalai Lama and people like that.
Right. So they're just different flavors, of which you started off with Zen. And now the Tara is the – is it Tara? What is it? Is that right?
It's called Theravadan. But the practice, the sort of core practice of Buddhism, or a core practice, is what you call mindfulness meditation, insight meditation. Vipassana is just a Pali term that really translates pretty closely to insight. So it's a way to help us cultivate skills to see into the nature of our kind of moment to moment experience, and just kind of come in closer contact with how we're actually living, and through that kind of clear seeing, it helps us to transform our relationship with stress and suffering and so on.
Right. So let's just go to kind of the more practical aspect. So you were saying before that, the core teachings of Buddha are all the same, irrespective of what flavor you end up picking. So when you look at the teachings of Buddha, what do you think is relevant for, the average person today? Average Western person.
So for those who may not be familiar with what those core teachings are, just very quickly, first of all, the Buddha was sort of a classic list maker, which is, I think,
in part,
because, 2,500 years ago, it was, I think, easier to remember things when they were in a list.
Right. No Costco.
Yeah, exactly.
No going to Costco, but still, okay.
You couldn't sort of, write it down on your iPhone or anything like that. So, the sort of core teachings of the Buddha are called the Four Noble Truths, and truth number one is that in Pali the word is in Sanskrit the word is dukkha, but it's sometimes translated as suffering, but I actually don't like that translation so much. I think it's a little bit loaded. You can think of it in terms of stress is actually a pretty good idea of what it's pointing to. So truth number one is that stress or dissatisfaction or what some call suffering is a fact of life. It's something that to be human is to experience at some point or another this kind of underlying stress or dissatisfaction. I think I've yet to meet somebody who said that they actually don't experience that. The second is that and it's almost like he's kind of come at this like a doctor diagnosing a disease, right? So number one, the disease in this metaphor is stress or dissatisfaction. Number two is that there's actually a cause. There's something that causes it. Number three is that it's actually possible to transform our relationship to that suffering and to become free of it. And number four lays out yet another list from our famous list maker called the Eightfold Path, which are the concrete steps that one can take and practices that one can employ to become free of, or at least transform our relationship to suffering in our life.
Okay, and on that note, I'm sorry, I have to. It's time to go on a break. Sorry about that. I'm having some technical difficulties, but so you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have John Begay, who's a practice Zen and Vipassana meditation Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take phone calls and any questions you may have. John, we'll actually start with John kind of finishing the Four Noble Truths, and then we will come back and take any questions that you have about Buddha's teaching. And if you're having a challenge right now and are wondering how Buddha's teachings can help you, please call in. Or if you have questions about Buddhism or something that you're considering, listeners can contact us at 1-800-930-2819. When you call, please be ready with your name, location, and question for Chris or station manager. So you can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise. Unveil the power of the divine feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great. We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, welcome back. You're here with Fire It Up with CJ. My guest is John Begay. John Begay has practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years, and we're talking about how the 2,500-year-old teachings of the Buddha are still relevant today. But before we continue on, make sure everyone knows how to contact John Begay. John, could you give us your contact information for listeners?
Sure. I'm a big social media buff, so you can find me on Twitter at Jay Begay. It's J-B-I-G-A-Y. You can find me at Tumblr.com too. It's johnbegay.tumblr.com, or I have a Tumblr blog that's focused more on these teachings and how they apply to our life, called everydaymindfulness.tumblr.com. So any of those ways are fine.
Okay, great. And before the break, we were talking about the Four Noble Truths, which the first one is suffering.
Yeah, suffering or stress or dissatisfaction is part of our life.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, number two is that there's a cause of that stress and suffering. Number three is that it's possible to sort of transform our relationship with it and become free from that suffering in this very life. And number four is the Eightfold Path, which really lays the steps out to that freedom.
Okay, cool. So we have these four noble truths. How does someone actually apply these to their real life?
Yeah, so that's really what number four is a roadmap, and a very concrete roadmap that helps kind of lay out how we can sort of live differently in order to free ourselves from this this quality of suffering and dissatisfaction. So without going kind of into too much minutia around the Eightfold Path, they really sort of break down into kind of three main categories. One is talks about sort of ethics and ethical behavior. It's hard for us to really make significant strides in freeing ourselves from dissatisfaction and stress if we're not taking care with our actions, with how we make our living and how we speak and what we say. The second is mental development, which talks really about the practice that I alluded to earlier of mindfulness and specifically mindfulness meditation that can then be applied not just in formal meditation practice, but really throughout our day. And then the third are really wisdom teachings, which is how do we gain insight into the true nature of our lives and through the practice of mindfulness in order to really transform our relationship to suffering.
Okay, so I'm hearing that how you do this, how you end from suffering is to follow this Eightfold Path, and it's about your actions, it's about your mental development, and it's about getting wisdom through teachings. Is that a summary of what you just said?
It is, yeah, and really kind of the I think one of the real kind of core elements to that is this practice of mindfulness, and that is you know, cultivating the ability to bring sort of non-judgmental awareness to our kind of moment-to-moment existence. And we do that through a number of means, but kind of the central means by which we begin to learn how to do that and cultivate that is through the practice of meditation.
Okay, so let's actually put this to practice. Okay, I'm driving on the road, and someone cuts in front of me. And I'm pretty quick to judge. Someone cuts in front of me, I'm feeling pretty judgmental at that point. So how would this mindfulness meditation help me to be non-judgmental and be in and present state so I could be more mindful about my actions. So before I beep on the horn and start screaming expletives, what should I be doing?
Well, this may be a little bit counterintuitive, but I think that the first thing that's useful to think about is that trying to sort of manipulate our behavior and decide I should be doing this and I shouldn't be doing that. You can give it a shot, but at least speaking from my own experience, that's not the most effective way to sort of see lasting change in the way that we relate to a situation like you're talking about. So first and foremost, what we're beginning to try to do is just pay attention, very, very close attention to what's happening in the moment as those feelings of anger and frustration begin to arise. What's happening in our body? What are the thoughts that we begin to have, the story that we begin to tell ourselves about how we've just been wronged, how the person driving the car is a jerk? All these things that sort of happen sometimes in a flash of an instant that then result in us screaming out the window or laying on the horn or giving them the finger out the window or whatever it might be, right? That we, because we are not particularly attuned to the things that are happening with us, that we more often than not react rather than have the ability to respond skillfully and wisely in the moment.
You're saying trying to say, okay, don't, you know, roll down the window and give the guy the finger. Okay. That's hard to manipulate that behavior, but pay attention. So let's say that I'm at the point where I can say, wow, that's really interesting. My heart started beating really fast and I felt so mad that this guy cut me off. It's like he's more important, has to get to whatever kind of meeting that they have to get to, blah, blah, blah. So what do I do next then? I'm now present to my, let's say that I have the wherewithal at that time to be, pay attention to what's happening to my body, what I'm feeling, my emotions. Then what? How are you going to ease my suffering?
Well, what I would suggest is that if we're able to transform our relationship to all those things that you talked about, that is easing your suffering, right? The suffering comes out of all the sum total of all of that, heart pounding, the storyline that I tell myself that I've been wronged, that this guy's a jerk, that I'm going to be late, right? All that happened is somebody pulled their car out in front, right?
Right. Right. So I'm going to change my relationship to suffering.
That's right. That's exactly right. So there's a great Zen story. Zen, you talk about the difference between Zen and some of the other schools of Buddhism. One of the great contributions of Zen is something called a koan, which you may be familiar with. What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Oh, right.
And
yes.
Things like that. There are these little sort of stories that are really the purpose.
Oops, and actually, you know what? It's again time to take a break. So I want to hear about that story.
Yeah.
Let me wrap it up. So you're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have John Begay, who's practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be taking any phone calls. Listeners can call us at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hey, we're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is John Begay. John Begay has practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years, and we're talking about how the 2,500-year-old teachings of the Buddha are still relevant today. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows John Begay's contact information. John, you can be reached at twitter.com at jbegay. Is that right? B-I-G-A-Y. Is that right?
That's right.
And
sure.
Then every day, every http://everydaymindfulness.tumblr TUMBLR.com. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay, cool. Before I wanted to, we did get a question, and I would just say a comment before we go on. You know, it seems like nowadays, I mean, people are really, really suffering. I mean, talk about, and I know that this is the nature of what is, but it still doesn't make it any easier. I mean, people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs. Sometimes they're losing their homes and their jobs. You know, tell us how really is Buddhism going to help them? I mean, knowing that suffering is part of a fact of life, that doesn't really help me. I mean, I am suffering, but that doesn't help me just knowing it's a fact of life.
Well, understood, but I guess the what can be helpful in that teaching is kind of what comes after it, which is that it happens for a reason. There's a cause to why that suffering happens and how it operates, and that there's a way to get free of it. And I think, you know, to answer your kind of first question, there is very real suffering that people are experiencing. you know, losing their jobs, you know, people losing loved ones. You know, there is no shortage of difficult and painful circumstances.
So what's the cause for, what is the cause of my, so I know it's a way, so maybe it's a way that's supposed to be, there's a cause for the suffering. What is cause for why it's happening? Why is it happening? Why is it that, you know, I'm losing my house, I am losing my job, things seem to be going to hell in a handbasket. Why is this happening?
Well, I think maybe it's helpful to, first of all, make a distinction between the event that happens, and in some cases, in many cases in life, they are very real events that are painful. that's pain. Oftentimes we sort of put together pain and suffering as if it's one thing, and it's not necessarily one thing. We talk about pain of losing a job, the pain of losing a loved one, of loss. Let's make it even simpler, right? Let's say I break my leg, right? When I break my leg, there's generally pain associated with sustaining an injury like that, right? There are sensations in my body and my leg that are painful. What we often do with that is, I can't believe this happened to me. It's not fair. Why did it happen to me instead of somebody else? I can't believe all the horrible things that are going to happen to me now for the next month because my leg is broken, right? That's suffering. And so the relationship between the things that happen to me and what my mind does with the things that happen to me is really the kind of area that we can begin to do some work and help ease the grip of the difficult mind states and emotions and responses that often follow challenging and difficult circumstances in our life, and in some cases follow routine circumstances in our life that need not create the anguish and stress and suffering that we sort of inflict upon ourselves.
I mean, here's my question. Isn't that human, though? So let's say that I lose my job. It's pretty common for people to go to the not fair, why me, these are horrible things are going to happen to me, this is awful. It's kind of, isn't it just human nature to go through that? And how can we stop to move from pain to just suffering? And isn't that kind of that cathartic ramp at the end somehow useful to us?
Well, the answer to your first question in terms of how you can transform that process and that relationship is the very thing that these teachings point to. And, you know, I'll leave it to folks to kind of explore if they're interested and find out on their own whether it actually is possible and can be done. All I can speak to is my own experience. And I can tell you unequivocally that these practices have made an enormous difference in my relationship to the things that happened to me, good, bad, or indifferent. And I've seen a great many people benefit tremendously and be able to transform that relationship. I think, you know, often we tell ourselves and we justify some of that behavior as being only human. But I would submit to you that if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, rolling down the window and screaming at them till their veins bulging out of your neck and giving them the finger, versus responding in a different way, isn't necessarily just a fact of human existence.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I have Lorraine from New London who wants to share her thoughts on Buddhism and healing as well. Lorraine, are you there?
Yeah, hi, CJ. Great show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Hi.
So share with us your thoughts.
Well, I've been a Buddhist for 37 7 years. I chose Buddhism when I was in my 20s, so that tells you how old I am. And it is a constant process. The gentleman, I don't remember the gentleman's name. I'm trying to listen on the radio, and it goes in and out here.
But what the gentleman
was saying about, you know, approaching the suffering in your life in the Buddhist fashion, which is has a lot to do with breathing. Everybody, you know, right along all my life, I always heard, take a deep breath. You want to yell at somebody, take a deep breath. You want to scold your children, take a deep breath. It is the basis. It is. It's breathing. Everything is breathing. We cannot live without breathing. And learning to breathe things out of your system is an amazing, enlightening, and fulfilling process.
And John, is it all about breathing?
Thanks, Lorraine. That's a great point. What Lorraine's talking about in terms of working with the breath, when we begin to do this mindfulness practice, the breath is often used as an anchor or as a focal point in beginning to help us train the mind and steady the mind and begin to cultivate the ability to stay present, particularly in the midst of sometimes difficult emotions. The breath is used for a couple reasons. One is that, as Lorraine suggested, it's always there. It's always with us. It is generally something that is, we don't have strong emotions about one way or the other. It's a fairly neutral object that we can begin to use to help us settle our mind. But also, a key part of this and where the breath can be particularly useful is beyond formal sitting meditation. When we begin to formal sitting meditation, in a way, there's a reason we call it practice, right? It's a way to begin to cultivate some of these practices and explore our relationship to some of these mind states in a sort of controlled environment, right? It's almost a laboratory for working with the mind. And when we then get up off the cushion and get out into our everyday life on the mass bike, in our office, in relationship, is when it really gets interesting. And sometimes, having a good friend like the breath to be able to touch in with is just a way to sort of aerate the situation, particularly if we're dealing with a difficult emotion or mind state, and bring us back to ourselves, bring us back to the present moment.
Lorraine, thank you for your tip. That's fantastic. And what I'm going to do is have everyone breathe during the break. So let's take some cleansing breath.
Take in the suffering, breathe out the peace.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so everyone, you're going to breathe in the peace and take out the suffering?
You breathe. Tonglen is my favorite form of meditation, which is you take in what you're suffering about, you think about it for a moment, you let it settle in your heart, and you breathe out the peace.
All right, people. So that's what we're going to be doing on the break. Try it. Okay, thank you, Lorraine. Thank you for calling. You're listening to Fired Up with CJ. Today we have John Begay, who's practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be taking phone calls and any questions you may have or comments. Call us with if you're having a challenge right now and are wondering how the Buddhist teachings can help you. Listeners can contact that is 1-800-930-2819. And when you call, please be sure to leave your name, location, and question. So you can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling fine.
bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. CRA, Contact Reflex Analysis, is an energy assessment which translates human energy into information. This information provides me with the ability to identify your needs as a healer and to design a specific solution for you. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232, and visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, very good. When does this start?
This starts in August.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, we're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is John Begay. John Begay has practiced Zen and Vipassana meditation for the last 15 years. And we're talking about how the 2,500-year-old teachings of the Buddha are still relevant today. But before we continue on, to make sure everyone knows John, how to contact John Begay. He's at twitter.com/JBIGAY, Begay, as well as everydaymindfulness.tumblr.com. So welcome back, everyone. So John, we were on the break, we were talking about, you know, taking the example of losing a job and how it's really to stop from there's one thing to feel the pain. That pain is part of life, but the suffering doesn't need to happen. Tell us how you do this. Give us a real life example where you've used your Buddhism to stop from moving to pain, to suffering. Because I think that's fundamentally the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, this is a practice that is kind of very close in. And what I mean by that is that, we work with what's here in the moment, every moment, right? So, those shifts happen, in a very fine-tuned way. I think I can tell you that this practice has had an enormous impact on
on the relationships that I have, you know, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, my friends, in really being able to move from reacting when things are difficult and don't necessarily go the way I want them to go, to being able to, at least some of the time, I'm not going to suggest that this happens all the time, and you can get my wife on the line to corroborate this for you, to not simply react, right? To not get swept away in anger and fear and in whatever strong or difficult emotion might come up, and the biggest way that that's happened for me in terms of putting these practices kind of to work is in kind of transforming my understanding of and relationship with thinking and thoughts. So I think when you sit down and get quiet and take a look at your mind, it's a pretty amazing thing and not necessarily a pretty sight, as we embark on a practice like this. And what we come to realize very quickly is that there are all sorts of kind of thoughts and stories and characters up there, telling us all sorts of different things that when we're not paying attention, we sort of take to be, true, and take to be who we are. And when we're able to sort of cultivate mindfulness and awareness and observe the thinking mind, you know, we begin to more deeply appreciate the fact that while thinking is a great servant, it's a lousy master.
All right. On that note, I have Nadine from Westerly, Rhode Island, who wants to know how Buddhism can help her with business. Is that right? Hello, Nadine.
Hi. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm in real estate, and as you know, that's not going too well right now. I mean, some things are selling, and I owned my own real estate company with a partner for 18 years, and we sold it to someone who ran into the ground, and now we're paying off his debt on top of me not really selling a lot. I need to get in the right frame of mind because I'm having a hard time concentrating on making my sales work again, even though it's slow.
So tell me, what's your mind doing? Having you saying that you are trying to sell real estate right now, what are the stories or what are the things that you're hearing in your mind? What are the things that are stopping you?
Well, what happened to my business is not helping. It was a local businessman who we were told was very well known and very well accomplished, and he just ruined our business of 18 years because he wouldn't listen to us and left us in debt owing a lot of money and never paid us for the business. And that kind of soured me on the whole thing, and it's really slow right now, and I just find my attitude is not as good as it used to be. I want to get back into feeling good about it and get past what happened, even though we're still paying on it. But and I don't know, I need to have a positive mind flow to get back into concentrating on selling, I think.
John, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you're going through this. It sounds like a difficult situation, dealing with very real sort of difficulties in that touch our livelihood and paying the rent and putting food on the table brings up all sorts of difficult stuff. So I'm sorry that you're going through that. I'm certainly not going to suggest that there's any kind of silver bullet to these teachings or anything else that I'm aware of that's gonna suddenly erase the thoughts and feelings that you're experiencing as it relates to
to the circumstance that you're in. I think, you know, one of the things that I've come to understand in this practice that I think is different, to some extent than other practices, and it may or may not, sound appealing to you in your current circumstance, is that it's the idea here, and this may sound a little counterintuitive, is not necessarily to just, erase difficult feelings and emotions and bliss out or feel good all the time. And in fact, what we come to see and understand in a practice like this is that oftentimes our impulse and desire to get away from emotions that are difficult actually reinforces them or creates more difficulty and suffering than if we're able to really come in contact with the fear or the anger that we're experiencing in the moment, and being able to see clearly how that's operating for us and how that's then driving other behaviors and other actions, and really draining our energy to some extent, right? It's
right. That's what's happening. For me,
right. For me, you know, when I get caught up in very strong mind states like you're talking about, fear, anger, and get sort of swept away in them, it's exhausting. I don't have energy to do much else.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, I'm afraid to say that we are running out of time. Nadine and Chris, is there a way for us to continue talking to Nadine at the end? Hopefully we can, because I would like to. I have some thoughts on some of the things that you mentioned, too, as a life coach. So I'm sorry, Nadine, if you can stay on the line, that'd be great, because I would love to chat with you a little bit further. John, if you're willing to do that, too, that'd be great.
Of course, yep.
So what an interesting conversation. John, I really want to thank you today for sharing the teachings of the Buddha. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Fired Up with CJ. Please join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we're going to hear from Hank Queen, who is a former vice president of engineering and manufacturing of Boeing, who rose 9 levels during his time there and at his peak managed a 40,000-person organization. I didn't even realize there were organizations that big. Anyways, Hank will tell us how nice guys can finish first. Have a great week, and I will see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.